This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. In the Rose Oconee Museum collection, I came across a small book called On Golden Plain by Les Kletke with John Vasicek. It's about innovators and influencers in the agriculture industry of the Northern Plains. One of the people interviewed was our Oconee's Bob Berglund. Here's the chapter they wrote about him during the time he was still living on his farm. Ask Bob Berglund about a turning point in his more than six decades in agriculture, and he answers thoughtfully, getting into grass seed production in the early 1950s. It saved the farm after a couple of disastrous wet years. He says this with the same conviction he has applied to everything in life, and he still lives on the farm that he began near Roseau after marrying Helen Gron in 1950. He remembers a phone call way back then to a Dr. Thomas who had been his agronomy instructor at the University of Minnesota. I had an instructor who told us we should be growing grass in this area. I called him and asked him if grass still made sense here, and his reply was, more than ever. So we got into forage grass seed production, and that allowed us to save the farm because our cereal grains had drowned out for the past 2 years. Berglund was part of a group of about 10 farmers who formed a co-op to clean and market their production, which was primarily Kentucky bluegrass. One member of the group was Charlie Habstreet, who already operated a seed cleaning plant in Roseau that had the capabilities of processing the grass seed. The professor showed up with 5 pounds of foundation seed. A man named Gustav Queen was elected to multiply it. Within another generation, 2 years, the 5 pounds had become 500 pounds, enough to launch each member of the group of 10 into his own production. Over time, the membership in the co-op grew to about 200 members. Berglund credits working closely with the University of Minnesota as one of the keys to production. In the early 1960s, he was applying large amounts of nitrogen to his Kentucky bluegrass, a practice unheard of at the time and thought extravagant by most producers. You have to follow the science, and when they recommend 100 pounds of 3400, that is what we did. There were guys putting on 5 pounds, but that only made the grass darker. It didn't increase the seed yield. Berglund had faith in the university, but not blind faith. When they recommended expansion, we did not go too fast, he said. A lot of the expansion was driven by the industry, which wanted a larger supply to drive the price down. We avoided that and grew slowly, always exercising strict quality control to maintain the purity of the unique variety. Greed did get the better of some members. They struck out on their own and grew too fast and could not maintain quality control. We had the strength of the growers group and did a good job of marketing. Berglund says the lessons learned in the forage seed business in those early years confirmed what he already knew and entrenched the beliefs more firmly in his psyche. He carried them through a political career that culminated in Washington, where he served as the Secretary of Agriculture for the Carter administration. My dad was a populist, and he had been involved politically. There were few Democrats or Republicans in Minnesota. They were mostly populists. Dad thought Franklin Roosevelt was a hero, and the New Deal was what saved the country. Not everyone agreed with him, and in retrospect, some would disagree today, but that was his opinion. His father never did serve in an elected position, but Bob Berglund grew up in a political home, which led to his becoming actively involved. He worked on the campaign to elect President Kennedy in 1960 when Kennedy named Berglund's longtime friend Orville Freeman as Secretary of Agriculture. Freeman was from Minneapolis, and he and Berglund had become friends through the Democratic Party in Minnesota. Berglund was offered a job with the department in D.C. It was a very junior position, says Berglund, but we moved to Washington, and I worked with the department for several years. Then one day I got a call from Marvin Evanson, who said he was bringing a small delegation to D.C. to meet with me. Evanson arrived with 2 other northern Minnesotans, and their purpose was clear, to convince Berglund to run for Congress in the 1968 election. The idea was not totally foreign to Berglund, but he was not easily convinced. Others had suggested it to me before, but we had 7 kids and I could not give up a real job on the chance of being elected to Congress. He did make the decision to run on one condition, that if he did not defeat longtime Republican incumbent Odin Langan in that election, he would stay the course until he did. I didn't want to be a one-shot wonder if we lost. The United States was at the height of the Vietnam War, and Berglund campaigned on a platform of declaring victory and coming home. We were not going to accomplish anything more there. People were fed up with the war and demonstrations were growing. He was successful in winning the Democratic nomination, but lost to Langan by the narrowest of margins. Berglund devoted himself and his car to securing the next election. I was dedicated to winning, said Berglund, and willing to spend the next 2 years campaigning, but I could not afford to put my money into it. Helen got a job at a grocery store, and we lived on that. He spent the next 2 years driving around the state campaigning, and in 1970 defeated Langan. My parents were very supportive, he recalls, as well as Helen and her folks. Her parents were of a very similar political view, and that helped a lot. They all believed in what I was doing. I'll read more next week from his story. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.